Malachi chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." If you're familiar with the New Testament, this particular prophecy is talking in particular about John the Baptist, okay? So the first phrase there, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." And if you want to, we could go back into the New Testament, and we could look at John the Baptist. It will fulfill this prophecy. Okay, so this messenger that the Bible's talking about here is a vision, a foreprophecy of John the Baptist is to come. And then the second part, "And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, you have to understand something about, and this is just, I don't know if it's necessarily my personal observation. I've heard it from several men of God. Many of the Old Testament prophets, if you start with Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, all the Old Testament prophets, when they prophesied something and they saw something in the future, many times it was kind of a blended thing. So when it's talking about the coming of the Lord, in some regards he's talking about the first coming of the Lord when Jesus Christ came back to earth. And then in some regards he's also talking about the second coming. Okay, when Christ comes back to rule and reign on this earth the second time, which is what we're looking for. Okay, so, and some of these are blended together because they didn't have a, you know, it was kind of a hazy thing for them. All right, so this is what this is talking about. The first part is talking about when Jesus comes the first time. And then verse number 2, it says, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." And I looked up last night, it was last night, what is a refiner's fire and what is fuller's soap? I'd never heard of the term fuller's soap, okay? So I had no clue what it was. You remember there's terms in the Bible about the fuller's field, okay? If you remember those terms, it talks about when Jesus was on the Mount, I think it was Transfiguration, his robe was whiter than what any fuller could make it, okay? You say, what is a fuller? A fuller was basically a man, or I guess it could have been a lady. I think it was primarily a man, that he would take, his job was to basically clean garments or clean cloth, okay? And he would go and they would have these large vats, basically with water in them, and they would put in some, what their substitution would have been for soap. They called it fuller soap, okay? It could have been an alkali substance of some kind. And they would put their clothes in these vats, and then they would go in and they would stomp. They would just, almost like they was pressing grapes. I guess they had really clean feet afterwards, for sure. I mean, if you're cleaning all day with your feet. But they'd go in and they would, that's basically how they cleaned these large amounts of garments and stuff like that, is they would go in and they would, it basically working them with their feet in this substance, in this liquid and this soap. Okay, so they go in and particularly if you really look at it, it not only means that as far as cleaning the garment, but it also means as far as making it white. That was particularly what they were known for, which if you look at most of the Middle Eastern, especially if you read about what they used to wear, they didn't wear colored clothes like we wear today. A collared garment was a very rare and it was a very special thing. Joseph and the coat of many collars. You think, oh, that's no big deal, you know. And we all think of, you know, what you see on your flannel graph board, you know, it's a rainbow coat. That's not necessarily what that meant. It could have just been two collars or three collars. But to them, that was a huge deal. The expense that it cost to get something dyed. So most of their clothing was a white collar. And a fuller that was good at what he did would get something very, very white. And then that's where the Bible says that Jesus' raiment on the Mount of Transfiguration was whiter than what any fuller could ever make it. It was an abnormally white color. But that's what the fuller soap was, and that's what a fuller did. The fuller's field, if you remember the reference in the Bible about the fuller's field. The fuller's field, because of the nature of what he did, he was cleaning clothes, and then he had to allow those clothes to dry. And a lot of times, he was not allowed to do it inside city limits because it's the smell. It stunk real bad, or stank, or however you say that, okay? It smelled really, really bad. So he often had to go out and find a piece of ground outside the city so that when he got all of his clothes clean or all of his garments or whatever he was cleaning, he could let those things dry outside because of the smell associated with cleaning the garments and everything. So that's where the term Fuller's Field comes from. Okay, so that's just a little, you know, it helps you understand the Bible a little bit more. But what God says here, he's going to appear when Jesus Christ comes back. It's going to be as a refiner's fire or the fuller's soap. So if, on the basis of the fuller's soap, he could say that he is going to, if you would, stomp out all wickedness, just as the fuller would stomp out and push out and purge out any wickedness. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to do when he comes back. He's going to push out any wickedness. And you know, when you think about it, if Jesus Christ came back today, how much is he going to have to get? Are we a clean garment? Or is he going to, I mean, how long is it going to take for him to clean everything out? Something to think about. So Jesus Christ, because we don't know when he's coming back. So that is something to think about. So verse number 2, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For as he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now everybody wants to know what this is, all right? This, I preached a message not too long, it was a while back, about the heat treating of metal, okay? And I don't know if you remember, probably don't remember, that's okay. But I preached about the message about heat treating of metal. And I had built a forge out of a 55-gallon barrel and to treat metal with. But the only problem is, and if anybody knows anything about this, the coal that you have to use for doing blacksmith work has to be a special variety of coal. And it's hard. It's not just you go out and you get coal from the coal mine. It's a special variety of coal. It's hard to come by. And the purity, if the coal is not the right coal, it will actually put things back into your metal that you don't want in your metal and make your metal weaker. So I started doing some research, and these guys are making these forges. So I went ahead and built one. That's what this is. This is a forge. All right? There's no burner in it right now. The burner goes inside this little hole. Okay? This is a forge. It is this forge, I can get weld temperatures with steel in this forge. So what is a weld temperature of steel? Basically, I can get this forge up to about 2,500 degrees inside is how hot this forge will get inside. All it is a Freon tank. So I did get it from the junkyard, Miss Kathy. All right. This is a Freon tank, okay? And it's got insulation inside, and it's got some special refractory coating. It's kind of a long explained process, okay? But you can also, what some guys use these for, is refining metal or smelting metal, okay? They'll melt lead in them to make whatever, if they want to make fishing weights or cast their own bullets. You can melt, obviously 2,200 degrees, you're going to be melt. I mean, 2,300 you can forge weld steel with. That means that the metal is, the molecular structure of the metal is breaking down enough with the heat that you can push the molecules of the metal together. Okay, so it's basically almost molten metal. But this forge will get 2,500, depends on how high I get my propane. You don't want to get too high. That's why I said it could be a bomb under wrong circumstances. But 2,500 degrees, you can get this inside this forge. Okay, and it's a very simple thing. It's basically only designed. The reason I made it was to do knife blades and to forge knife blades in. You say, well, Chad, what about the refiner? And that's primarily what I'm focus on this morning is the refiner's fire. Say, Brother Chad, what is the refiner's fire? What does it do? Well, gold will become molten at 1,947 degrees. Gold will turn into a liquid at that point. Okay, I can't remember what the silver, I don't remember all the numbers, but I can't remember what silver turns into a liquid. But basically, you'd take a little clay pot, and they would put pieces of gold or gold ore or whatever you want. They would put those pieces of gold. Remember the story of Aaron, and he commanded all the children of Israel to do what? Take their earrings out. And he said, this is what he said, and which is what's so humorous to me. He said, I threw them into the fire. I threw them in this end. And pretty soon a calf came out this side. Well, yeah, that's stupid. I mean, whoever, you know, that was kind of a really retarded, lame excuse, okay? That's not what happens. He did maybe throw the gold in the fire, but that gold became molten. It melted, okay? It became a liquid. And what happens is unless gold is 100% pure, which 24 carats I think is considered pure gold, okay? Gold will, most gold has an alloy of some kind in it. Most of your rings, and I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of the rings and stuff, they'll have an alloy in it. And that is to give the gold certain properties that the gold doesn't have by itself. But you throw that gold in the fire, and the gold, because of its density and its chemical composition, it will actually be heavier. It's denser. So it sinks, whereas some of your other stuff rises to the top. Same thing with silver. And we're going to show you some different things. It's kind of neat how they used to do this. But let's go over to Revelation chapter 3. I want to show you a verse here in Revelation chapter number 3. And then I'm going to explain a few things about the refining process. Revelation chapter number 3. And I don't think I wrote down the right verse. I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong verse. I'm looking here. No, I did. I was in the wrong chapter. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 18. Bible says, this is talking about the church of Laodicea. This is what we would consider the final state of apostasy. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 18. The Bible says, I counsel thee to buy of me, what's the next phrase? Gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And look at verse number. Look at the next statement. And what? White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Isn't that neat? How the Bible kind of correlates. Remember what I said. What was the fuller? His primarily job was to cleanse garments, and specifically to make them what color? White. All right. And then it talks here about the gold tried in the fire. So we see that there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. We're going to use our Bibles this morning, son. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 4. The Bible says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Proverbs, Psalms chapter 66. Psalms chapter 66. Verse number 10. Psalms chapter, I'm going to go through a lot of scripture, and then we're going to kind of, once we go through the kind of the 3 points, we'll jump back and I'll reference these. So just hang with me here as we go through some of these scriptures. Psalms chapter 66, verse number 10, the Bible says, for thou, O God, hast proved us. And remember that term, proved, proved us. And thou hast tried us. Remember that term, tried us. As silver is tried. So we've got proved and we've got tried as silver is tried. All right, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. This gives us a lot of insight to the old practice that they used to use when they were doing the refinery. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 29. Jeremiah 6, verse 29. The Bible says, the bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. You say, Brother Chad, what's it talking about, the bellows are burned? In the refining process for silver, when they would melt silver, once you get the silver to a molten stage, there comes out of the silver, mostly it's, I think it's called lead oxide, and it will come actually to the top, and it actually changes to a powder form, which is really pretty interesting. I always thought dross would have been just like a liquid, and some of it is, but a lot of it is like almost a powder form. It's almost like a flux for those of you that have welded. All right, when you're welding with a MIG welder, okay, you've got, what do you have as a shielding gas, right? You have a shielding gas. So your shielding gas comes and hits that flux, and it does what to the flux? It blows it away. Well, the same thing is true with refining. Basically, you have a miniature refining process right there. For those of you, no, not everybody's familiar with MIG welding, but a miniature refining, you are refining that bead of weld when you are using a MIG welder, because that gas is coming in. Well, the bellows that the Bible's talking about here, they would melt that silver into their in their crucible, in that little clay pot. They would melt that silver, and that oxide, that lead and stuff, would come to the top, and then they would take basically their form of air compression, which is bellows, and they would take it, and they would start blowing on the top of that lead. And all that stuff, because that was it was real light and the silver was heavy, it would get blown off the top of that lead. And that was the best way to skim it off the top, because it was lighter than everything else and it would be blown off. So Bible here is talking about the bellows. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth. You know, if the founder didn't have any bellows, he's melting in vain. He's just melting lead, but there's no purpose to it. Okay, so that's what the Bible's talking about here. And for the wicked are not plucked away. The wickedness is not being blown away, because why? Because the bellows are burned. And that was the process, that it would be melted, and then it would be, the impurities would be blown away. All right? So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 17. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver." Those first few metal groups are all drosses that would be their impurities that's in the silver. So your brass and your tin and your iron and your lead, those are the impurities that they're trying to get out of the silver. "They are even the dross of the silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you." It's pretty interesting. God says, you guys, there is no silver left. You know, and I'm afraid that's what America is becoming. We used to be a godly nation, and God used to look down and say, well, that's most, I'm not saying there wasn't impurities in America, but for the most part, God looked at America and said, that's a silver nation, for lack of a better term. But you know what? Now what's our nation become? Brass and tin and lead and iron. If there is no pure, I not say no, there's little purity left in America. I'm not saying that there isn't any. But you know what God says to Jerusalem? I'm going to take everything and I'm going to purify you. I'm going to put everything. And I think that time's coming to America. At some point, I don't know when. I mean, it would be foolish for me to say when, all right? But that time is coming to America when God says, I'm going to purify this group of people. And so this group of this in Jerusalem, God says, I'm going to put you all together in the furnace. You notice how he said, I'm going to blow on you with the fire? If you listen to this, when this thing's running, it's pretty cool sounding, all right? It's like, it's got this, I don't know how you describe it. It's like a jet engine. I mean, inside, it really sounds like that, all right? and it's a roar. There is no forced air. I have no air hooked up to this. It operates on a Venturi system, basically like a carburetor on an engine. It sucks in air because it's demanding the air from fuel air mixture. So there is no air, but that thing just, it roars. And it's pretty neat, all right? But that's what the Bible says. God says, I'm going to blow my fire upon you, and you're going to be melted and consumed. And you know what God does? He says, I'm going to draw out my children. I'm going to pull out the purity, okay? So that's what God says here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know we're using our Bibles a lot, but that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think I need to fix the baptistry heaters. Anybody else hear that, or is it just me? Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 3, let's look at verse number 11, I'm sorry. Proverbs 3, or 1 Corinthians, I keep going back to Proverbs, don't I? Sorry. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that they are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So up to this point, I've used the illustration of basically silver, and silver being tried in a fire. And then if it'd be like me putting a crucible, or a crucible is basically a small clay pot that's been already fired, and you put that in there and you're melting things. And God jumps from that into 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. He talks about how our works are going to be tried in much the same manner by Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ, and Pastor Ross always said, live with one eye on what? The judgment seat. He said that. If he said it once, he said it 100 times. Live your life with one eye on the judgment seat. And you know, that's the same thing is true here. What are you living your life for? When your works are proved, remember that term I said to notice, proved and tried, are they going to be burnt up like a dross? Are they going to have to be blown away by the refiner? Or are they going to be something that's going to last and be for eternity? And that's what the Bible is talking about here. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to look at verse number 20. 2 Timothy 2. Verse number 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know what the Bible says it over and over and over again. If you want to be used by God, you know what you got to do? You got to purge yourself. You got to be willing to go. Is it comfortable in the fire? No. Never. It's never comfortable in the fire. But God uses the fire if we allow Him to. God uses that fire to purge us and to clean us and to make us, as 2 Timothy said, or 2 Timothy says, a vessel fit for the master's use. All right? Three things about what happens in here, and I'll let you go, okay? Three things about what happens in the fire. Number one, the fire purges. The fire purges. You know, if you put a piece of metal in there, and that metal is not pure as far as silver and gold, a precious metal, let me put it that way, a precious metal, what happens to that dross? It'll come up, and you can purge, you can make that metal pure by doing that. They honestly, refiners anymore, They don't really use this method a whole lot. They've got more scientific methods that they use. It's all basically chemically based methods. But for centuries, thousands of years, this method was used to purify things. You know, folks, and I don't know what everybody's going through in here, but you think, Bro Chad, I've got some fire things in my life. God sends his people, sends his Christians through times of fire, through times of testing, through times of trials, and it's to prove, it's to try them, to purify things, to push things out. And in Malachi, we could look at that. God said, I want to purify my people. They were once pure, and they've got impurities in them, and I want to purify them once again. And I want to purge them, and I want to make them vessels that I can use once again. And that's what God's telling us. You know, God does that to us, too. God says, I'm going to put you in this fire, and I'm going to purify you. I'm going to heat it up and make it uncomfortable, yes, but I'm going to purify you through that. Second thing, so the fire purges, first of all. The fire allows us to be formed. Secondly, fire allows us to be formed. A blacksmith, I could stick a piece of, one of the possible reasons you'd stick a knife blade in there is to help form that knife blade. You can't form a piece of steel that's not hot. It just doesn't work that way, okay? I mean, unless you're bending it. But to really form a piece of steel, a blacksmith, they always heat it in the fire until it gets red hot. And then they can twist it. It's easy to maneuver. It's easy to make, okay? You know, God has something he wants for all of us. God has something he wants for all of our lives. And I think most of you could look back in your life and you say, well, there was times God put me in here and I came out a different person than what I went in. Because God used that to change my life somehow. And I think most of you could look at your life. And it's easy to look back, and it's easy for me to stand up here and say that. You know, honestly, and I'm going to tell you the truth, it's not that I haven't gone through a few minor things in life. But I don't feel like God's ever really put me through the ringer, as some people would say. I've never really had anything in my life that I feel like is just God's testing me and God's trying me. So it's easy for me to say, well, yeah, this is what I'm going to do when I'm in the fire. And sometimes it's easy if you've been through something to say, well, this is what people ought to do. You know, but by God's grace, I think we hope that we have God's grace while we're inside here. Because it's hard being inside the fire. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes the discomfort of that. But God wants to either purify you and make you something that's cleaner, or God wants to form you into something else. He wants to make you into something. Maybe you say, well, Brother Chad, this is what I've been doing my whole life, and then God brought this into me, and I don't know which direction. Well, maybe God has a different direction that he wants you to go. So first of all, the fire purifies or purges. Secondly, the fire allows us to be formed inside. Then the third thing is the fire determines the quality. The fire determines the quality. Ladies or men, you guys go to the store and you going to get a piece of jewelry. You know, how many of you have ever, you know, you walk up to the counter and you sit this on the counter and you got your propane tank there and, you know, all right, I want the 24 karat. It's supposed to be the purest that you got. I'm like, okay, here. I'm like, well, I don't really believe this is 24 karat. So I'm just going to put this in this little thing right here and I'm going to melt it down and we're going to see if this thing's real. Yeah, it's not going to work that way, okay? We just assume that what they're, you know, I have no way of, well, this isn't actually. I kept losing my other one, and so I got a titanium one. You know, I figured it's not going to get destroyed that way. So I got a titanium one, a ring. But, you know, my first ring, I don't know what it was, but I just assume, you know, they could be lying to me for all I know. I mean, who you don't really know, okay? Now, you're supposed to have all these little certificates that say, yeah, it's a genuine diamond. You know, it could be cubic zirconia for all I know, okay? To me, looking at them, from my visual, man, I've seen some really nice-looking cubic zirconia. But doesn't mean it's a real thing, does it? Okay? Now, if I bought my wife a cubic zirconia for her wedding, or for our, you know, when we got married, you'd all be like, oh, can't believe you didn't get her the real thing. Well, I didn't. Okay, I didn't do that. I bought her something real, okay? But she wants something real, doesn't she? All right? You want something real, all right? And you stick, if you buy something that is supposed to be real gold, you want something that's real gold, okay? You don't want something that's a knockoff, okay? What's the, you know, I remember as a kid, you find those, I don't remember what the technical name is. We always called it fool's gold. That stuff. And you find it in the rocks, all right? And it's gold, and like, you're super excited. You thought, you know, you used the next gold rush or something. Well, that's not real gold. It just has the appearance of gold. And, you know, one thing that the fire is used for is to determine what the true qualities of the material is. You know, I think sometimes God lets us go through a fire, and he's just wanting to know, how real is their faith? How true are they to me? Or is it just a fake plastic? Or is it just a coating that was on that ring? Because the fire will tell you the truth. And I think God sometimes sends fire into our lives to tell the truth. Say, Bro Chad, if God sent a fire into my life and God really bore down the fire on me, what would he find? I don't know. That's a self-searching question. I can't answer that for you, and you can't answer that for me. Are you real? Maybe the only way God can tell if you're real is when something terrible happens in your life. Are you going to throw everything away and run? Or is there going to be something that you allow it to then purify yourself and maybe make you something new? God told the Israelites, he said, I'm going to, in Ezekiel and also in Malachi, he said, I'm going to throw you all together. And this fire is going to see who the real Christians are. You know, I think there's going to be fire in America. And God is going to use it, like I said, who's the real Christians? Most of Christianity today is brass and tin and lead and iron. But God's going to send a fire inside, and God's going to say, who's the real Christian? Is that Christian going to let this fire purify them of impurities? And is that Christian going to let this fire allow me to make them something else? A vessel for the finer, fit for the master's use. What happens when you're in the fire? Like I said, that's a self-searching question. What'll happen when you're put in here? Because I think every Christian at some point in your life, and some of you, some of you have already been through it. Some of you are probably going through it right now. Whether you think so or not, you are going through it probably right now. Most of us, we've still got some that we have to go through. What'll happen? Will everything be burned up, as it talks about in Corinthians? Or will there be something that's left that God can use? Think about it this week. Do a self-search and do a self-examination. I'd rather put the fire to myself and say, I want to get out all this stuff, instead of God saying, well, he needs to get rid of all this stuff and he does it to me. I'd rather do it myself. I'm probably easier on myself. You know, and there's still going to be things that God does that he says, well, you didn't get enough of that out. Let's go through this again. But do a self-search. See what you got. And when God does send things, remember, allow God to purify you and to mold you and be truly what you say you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the lesson of the fire. Lord, I thank you for the refiner's fire and Lord, allowing that to make us better for you. Lord, I pray that you help us this week, help us serve you, help us glorify you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.